Hear NFL legends, players, coaches, and media members from around the country sharing their insights and stories with us year-round. Here on Thursday night, Tailgate.
And now back with us and making his fourth appearance with us on Thursday night tailgate is former Dolphins linebacker Dwight Hollier. Let me give you a little more background on Dwight. He's from Hampton, Virginia, played his college ball at the University of North Carolina, where he was awarded the Patterson Medal for his athletic accomplishments, sportsmanship, and leadership. And he got that award back in 1991-92 for that school year. Dwight was a fourth-round draft pick by the Miami Dolphins in 1992, and he played linebacker in the NFL from 92 to 2000. All but one of those seasons was down in Miami with the Dolphins. He spent his last season with the Colts. Over the course of his career, he had 400 tackles, 3 sacks, 2 interceptions, and he forced 1 fumble. He was named one of the top 100 Miami Dolphins of all time by SB Nation and the Finsider. He is now the Associate Athletic Director for Student Athlete Health, Well-being, and Program Outreach. And we are honored he is back with us again tonight here on Thursday Night Tailgate. Hey, Dwight, Chris, and Bob here. Thanks for coming back on the show.
Welcome back, Dwight.
Hey, guys. Appreciate you having me back. It's always a pleasure to be on and an honor to be called.
We appreciate you, Dwight. So, Dwight, I want to start off our time by talking about your new role, Associate Athletic Director for Student Athlete Health and Well-being. Talk about what your job is there with North Carolina and what brought you back to UNC.
Sure. Was a senior associate athletic director, so just want to make sure I add that little piece in. Part of my role is overseeing the health and well-being of our student athletes. So I work with our sports medicine department as well as our nutritionists, strength and conditioning coaches, and also have a hand in our leadership development program. So it's really all the elements that touch all of the athletes, and managing that and trying to make sure that we're providing the best resources and experience for our student athletes.
And Dwight, going back to your time there at Carolina, you were there about a decade after Lawrence Taylor was a part of the program. But I was curious about, did a guy like Taylor come back and meet with you guys and share his wisdom or maybe a coaching tip or things of that nature? Was he around campus when you were there?
No, I don't recall Lawrence Taylor coming back. But along the way, one of the things that was really great about Mac Brown, who was my coach the 4 years that I was there, was that he really did encourage our former players to come back and get involved. So I did get a chance to speak with a lot of other former players, like Ron Burden, who was playing at the Cowboys at the time, who gave me some great advice that helped me along my way when I went into or got my opportunity to play in the NFL. So there were always guys around. It was encouraged, but I don't recall connecting with Lawrence Taylor during that time. He was someone that I looked up to and was a big part of my decision to go to Carolina. You know, having grown up in Hampton, Virginia, and hearing about the stories of Lawrence Taylor, who was in Williamsburg, Virginia, and playing in Lafayette High School, which was in our district, it was pretty exciting to have that opportunity to go to North Carolina to follow in such huge footsteps. And I would have loved to have met him as a student athlete.
So along those same lines, Dwight, when you're there now, are you a part of the football program to show the young men that are coming up as linebackers like you were, what your experiences were and how you developed and went on to the NFL and what made you successful?
Sure. I did get a chance to go back a couple of times while I was playing for the Dolphins and check out games and speak informally to players. Once I was done with the NFL, I was working as a mental health counselor and was doing some public speaking about transitions and leadership, and I did get an opportunity to go back a couple of times and speak to the players at the University of North Carolina. In my current role, I do have a chance to spend a lot of time with student athletes, all of them, and of course, football is a natural fit, especially with the return of the Mac. With getting Mac Brown back at Carolina, it is only natural that I spend some time there, that I get a chance to connect with our student athletes, with our football players, and provide them whatever elements that are going to help them to be successful, not just on the field, but beyond the field. That's what it's all about. And I really value that opportunity that's been provided.
Bob, questions for Dwight?
It's always a pleasure to have you on, Dwight. And I was looking back at the 92 draft today, and some great linebackers in the first few rounds. Yourself, our good friend LaVon Kirkland, Quentin Coriat. Just wanted to know, give me your memories of that whole draft. You were a fourth-round pick. Give me your first line of contact with the Dolphins. Think back to that day and tell me how it all shaped out for you.
Oh, man, it was kind of surreal. Back then, the draft is not the production that it is today. The first round takes, I don't know, 2.5-3 hours. I don't even remember, but that was all that was shown on TV.
Right.
So I knew that I wasn't going to be in the early rounds, or the first round at least, having had an injury right before my season and only playing part of the season. But I figured I would get drafted. So I had my friends over. I was in my apartment in Chapel Hill, and had three of my best friends were at North Carolina A&T University, which is about 45 minutes away from my apartment. So they came over and we sat and watched the draft for a couple of hours. And then, you know, they got up and left, they got up and left and went back. And so I went, walked back to my bedroom to get dressed I was just going to go and hang out with some friends. And I was getting dressed to hang out with some friends, and the phone rang in my room. And I picked it up, and it was Harvey Green, who was the sports information director for the Dolphins at the time. And he said, "Hey, this is Harvey Green with the Miami Dolphins. I have Don Shula on the phone." And next thing I know, I'm talking to Don Shula. I nearly tore an ACL jumping around my room when that happened. I was so excited, man. And Don Shula got on the phone and said, "Hey, we're about to draft you. Looking forward to having you down." If I could flip, I would have flipped. But that would have been a disaster had I tried that in that little bedroom.
In that rookie year, Dwight, it was a good one. I mean, as a playoff team, you played in all 16 games. So guys like Shula and Oliver Dotti had a lot of confidence. We know all about Shula. Oliver Dotti is he's a very interesting guy to me. Had an incredible amount of success as a coordinator and back linebackers coach after that. But why do you think he never became a head coach, and what did he mean to you as a coach?
You know, I can't really answer the question about why he never became a head coach. He was a genius. You know, he really understood the defense that he was running, and he was a pretty quiet guy until we were really messing up, and then he'd jump all over us. But understood that defense in a way and was able to share that information with us that helped us to understand and be successful. It was a really complicated defense, as I recall, and you really had to pay attention to the little nuances of the defense and making sure that you're following all the rules. And for Oliver Dotti, he had a great command of that defense, and we had some great players. And I'm honored to be in that same lineup with those guys. You know, the guy that I ultimately got a chance to play in place of, John Offerdahl. John Offerdahl was a great, great linebacker, and I really tried to do a lot of it. Tried to emulate him. He was a great role model for me as a young player coming in and watching how he practiced, intensity that he brought, and then the effort that he put out on the field. I can credit him for maybe some of the longevity, just trying to model the work ethic that he had throughout my experience.
And Dwight, when you came into the league, you were trying to make an impression on coaches having to deal with, at practice, Dan Marino. How difficult was it for you to make a name for yourself going up against a guy like Marino in practice?
I got to tell you, there were times in practice where I didn't see the ball, but I heard it. And I heard it come past my ear, zoop, and hear it go poof. And that means it hit somebody's hand behind me. I never saw it. His release was so quick, and he was so accurate. Sometimes even when the play was busted, he would swing the ball behind his back and hit a guy in stride. It was really amazing. He was a very special guy, a very special quarterback, and I'm absolutely honored to have that opportunity to play with a Hall of Famer like him. He was good, man. I got to tell you. It's funny, though, when I first got to Miami and they were practicing at St. Thomas University, and the facilities were really not up to standard. It was as good or maybe less than my high school locker room when I got into that locker room there at St. Thomas University. And no knock on the university. It was the facility. It's just what it was. It was what it was. So when I got there, really excited, walk into these facilities, and I'm like, okay, this is the NFL. This is training camp, and these wooden lockers with little chicken wire in between. And I was like, okay, all right, I'm still excited. And then I found my jersey, and I was number 64. And I was like, okay, linebacker wearing 64. Maybe they don't expect me to make the team. And then I found out that I was 64B. So there was also another guy wearing 64
wow.
on the offensive line. So I still have a picture from that first game I played in where I was number 64, and it was just I was a little defeated. I got to say, I was a little defeated as a drafted guy coming in to find out that I was number 64 as a linebacker, 64B.
That's a great story. And Dwight, you had all those years with Marino. And then you get that last season in 2000 with the Colts. You get to play with Peyton Manning. You certainly had a lot of experience playing against him. What was it like being on the same field with Peyton Manning?
I often say that the highlights of my career is that I played with two of the greatest quarterbacks ever. But playing with Peyton, another thing that I often say when I talk about him is some of the greatest throws and catches that I saw as an NFL player happened in practice in Indianapolis. They would go through the whole passing tree before games, before practice, in practice. And with Marvin Harrison and those guys, they make some incredible catches in practice, running those routes against nobody. I mean, they were running them full speed, and you wonder how it worked so flawlessly in games. Is they had run that same pattern, that same route 20, 30 times during that week. So they knew exactly where they were supposed to be. They knew the timing of the route. They knew when the ball was going to be released, at what angle, at what trajectory. I mean, they were very, Peyton was a very detailed quarterback and a really funny guy. I mean, I think we see that now in the commercials, but he was a great teammate and a funny guy. He was in his third season when I played with him and hadn't quite gotten to the level where he finished, but he was a really, really good quarterback.
Dwight, just a couple more before we let you go. And we can't be at this time of year. We can't be in March and talking about the University of North Carolina without getting your thoughts on the Tar Heels for March Madness and the NCAA tournament. What's the expectation around there? Is anything short of a national championship going to be a disappointment?
Oh, is there a basketball team here? We were talking football.
Indeed.
Yeah, it's a great group of young men who have played tremendous this season, and really excited to see how they do. Of course, the expectations are high, but they're always high. And fortunately, we've been blessed with players who meet those expectations on a regular basis. So we expect nothing less this season. They're a tremendous group of young men not just outstanding basketball players, but also outstanding young men. And that's what I'm most proud of, is the character of these young guys and how they carry themselves. And it's one thing to be a tremendous athlete, but it's another thing to be a tremendous young man, and really proud that they combine those two very well.
Dwight, before we let you go, let our listeners know, how can they stay up to date with all the great things you're doing there at North Carolina, follow you online and on social media?
Sure. I'm on Twitter at DFIN50. And then also I'm at Dwight Hollier on Instagram as well. The Twitter page is more of a broader coverage of stuff we do with the University of North Carolina and tweets about them and retweets and things like that. The Instagram is probably more personal, a little more of my family in that one. But just excited about the opportunity I currently have as Senior Associate Athletic Director, and to be back at the University of the People and to be a part of this great athletic program under Bubba Cunningham. It's really special. I feel like I've hit the lotto for the third or fourth time. I would say the first lotto hit was 1992, getting that call from Coach Shula. Second lotto hit was getting an opportunity to go and work at the NFL, first as Director of Transition and Clinical Services, and then as Vice President of Wellness and Clinical Services. And then the next hit was getting an opportunity to come back to the University of North Carolina, where I learned and grew so much, to be able to then serve the next generation. It's a really special opportunity. I couldn't be happier. My wife got her medical degree from the University of North Carolina, so this is a pretty special opportunity for us.
Well, Dwight, we can't thank you enough for taking time out of your busy schedule to come back and be a part of the show. No matter how much time we spend with you, it's never enough. I hope you'll come back and join us again sometime real soon.
It is always a pleasure, guys. Thank you so much for thinking of me. Thanks for the work that you do, the great stories that you share, and it's exciting to have a chance to talk about this place and these young people that I get a chance to work with. So thank you for the opportunity.
Continue.
Absolutely. Take care, Dwight. All the best to you and your family. I'll catch up with you soon.
You guys take care.
Good night.
Take care. Have a good one. Bye-bye.
See you, Dwight. That is former North Carolina and Miami Dolphins linebacker Dwight Hollier, doing so many great things there, Bob. And this is another guy, just like Willie Simmons at the top of the show, having an opportunity and taking advantage of it to help mold young men and women.
He's a terrific guy, very cerebral, Chris, incredibly well-spoken. And for a guy that played a long NFL career, we're glad he's continuing to do great things. And you could tell he was just so thankful to play for those legendary coaches. That you get goosebumps when you're talking. When the phone rings and Don Shula's on the other end, I think I might bust a knee myself. I love that story. Terrific stuff.
We've got our next guest, Joe Burns, hanging on the line. Going to get to Joe on the other side of this quick station break.